Is it starting? Okay, here we go. Go from there. Trevante Harmeo, the lovely Sarah Jean Hedge. I might have to cut that out for military purposes.
No, I don't do any secret squirrel stuff very often.
we're starting a little crossover thing because we've got Brad Hutchings on the big screen here. Funny story about how I sort of met and became better friends with her. You were selling cars, mm-hmm. and I basically stalked you at the lot for like a month.
Well, that was actually the first time I met you. You were singing Metallica at the Bayou and wearing a suit. And
told you.
He sounds just like, it's ridiculous. And I was like, who's this joker in a suit going to come up here and sing some Metallica? And he rocked it.
Wait a minute. How come I can't hear Brad now? What happened? Can you hear us? You know what? Since I turned on the thing, it might have killed it for him.
Can I say,
there he goes.
Excuse me, folks. We seem to be having some technical difficulties.
That's a very common thing on my show. Don't worry. Well, get comfortable here. I don't want you to be like all, hey, what are you doing? There you go. Get loose. Come on.
Okay. That's what she said.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry. Am I like not allowed to say inappropriate things on this?
Really? Brad, what do you say?
Yes.
Mom's not gonna listen. Say what you want.
That's always hey. You shouldn't say anything that your mom wouldn't like to hear anyway, right?
You know what? It's kind of the bane of my existence right now. The bane of my existence. When my mom. Look at his face. He's like. Cocksucker. When my mom, like, she goes through my website and she looks at the people that I have on there, and like some of them for whatever reason like totally weird her out, and she's listened to one show I kind of made her listen to, and other than that she wants nothing to do with it. Oh yeah, she wants nothing to do with it. If I have somebody with the first name Lucifer on my show, she's freaked out and she's out of it. So
could just be a cat, you never know.
It's not.
No? Okay, no. That's good. You don't have cats on your show?
You know what?
That's a lot less creepy.
You know, speaking of cats, and I'm not talking about a cat's off here. I'm talking about Chim Richels, who tweets us. On the next podcast Chim does, we will talk about Baboon in depth and Big Bang Theory.
All right.
Big Bang Theory.
There you go.
That's one of my favorite shows.
Write him back soft.
Speaking about cats.
Write him back soft baboon, warm baboon.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you something, Brad.
Live right now. No, we're not live right now, Chim. I'm just reading tweets from the future.
Tweets from the future.
Oh, Chim.
By Chim.
Chim's a man. I just
I like
on my
Chim.
Show.
I've never met Chim, but Chim, he Chim's seems like a cool guy.
He's a good egg. He's a bit of a scumbag, apparently, but
I like him already.
You would.
Very, very hard worker.
Is it weird that you're the only one on camera? Like I'm the host, but you're the one that he can see.
Or, I
and that
feel
anybody
a
that's watching him
this.
Sees you too.
Really? So yeah. I can pick my nose right now, and everyone will see it.
Well,
so
could you do something different than that? Like.
Like
you're better than that. Jesus.
I don't know.
That was nice. All right.
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to do something cool?
This is too weird.
I don't
like
have
I
any tricks.
I'm having a lot of fun with this. Oh shit, I forgot something. Ask Brad something about California.
Brad, what's up? How's it going? Is it warm out there?
Yeah. All about California. It's actually very cold.
Defined very cold. 55 degrees.
Like I said. 55 was
on
high today.
Oh, really?
Trevante Harmeo, Sarah Jean Hedge. We have been talking for like 15 minutes or something like that. And why would this thing be recording? Like, no wonder shit's all fucked up. Cock sucker.
Shit.
Why is it being. There we go.
I don't know. You just missed a lot of really good material,
yes.
though.
Nah, we're okay. we'll make things up. We just talked. Why is it so low? Okay, we just talked about your homeschool stuff.
Yep.
You wanted to act?
Yeah, I wanted to be a theater actress. And I was actually good. I was the lead role in two full-length plays in college, and I actually directed a play when I was 17 because my professor moved to Texas and was like, hey, have fun. We don't have enough people, so you're going to direct all the high schoolers and go for it.
What made you decide you wanted to do that? Like, that's kind of weird. Like,
I thought someone told me that the theater production class was easy credits in college, so I went in there.
You had nothing before that where you were like, oh, that movie was cool. I kind of want to do that.
No, I was always just, I'm comfortable in front of people, and I don't really get nervous, and I'm really good at memorizing lines. So
stop looking at that. What's wrong with you?
Me? What was I looking at?
The recording apparatus.
It's entertaining to me.
Yeah, a little bit. I hate when that happens. It really fucking pisses me off. I apologize. So you had success with the directing and all that, and that's what kept
it
going?
Yeah, it was really cool. And then and then I chickened out. I almost moved to India to be a an elephant safari guide, and I'm pretty sure the guy I was talking to was a human trafficker, because he offered to buy my plane ticket to India and told me all of these wonderful things, and then I kind of realized that the guy was probably a human trafficker.
This is Lumumba Mbutu.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your long-lost relative has left me with an inheritance. What are you doing?
Well, I was like 18 years old. I had just graduated with my associate's degree, and I was like, I want to do something cool. And instead, I moved to Silt.
Hey, man, that's a struggle in itself.
I upgraded from Dinosaur to Silt.
I think that's cool that your family lives there.
They live on the corner of Brontosaurus Boulevard and Tyrannosaurus Rex Lane.
See, I don't know anything about that. I've never been there.
It's
but
a true story.
I like the idea.
Yeah, the idea is fun. I never told people I was from there when I lived there, but now I tell people and it's funny.
Now, we might have lost this part already, too. I can't remember exactly, but car dealership stocking, drunk salesmanship, apparently.
Karaoke.
Metallica. Suits.
Bayou. Suits.
Pants. Tight pants, if I remember it.
I just got lost.
Not me, you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to get too, like, you know, ridiculous about just thinking about the old party days and stuff like that, but you were kind of like this, not exactly like a legend, but you were definitely, like, people knew, like, you know that, like, I can never remember, like, this is what I literally said this, like, I don't know how many times. You know that blonde girl, like, she's got really pretty eyes, and, like, she's got the fucking... I just made
that
the
was
not
American... a creepy stalker look at all.
I just made the American Sign Language for donk. I apologize if it's true.
It's all right. I've been called worse.
I'm good. I hope so.
Okay.
Probably deserve.
Anyway, I was a legend. Yes.
What was it like for you, like, the bit of time you spent in Glenwood during your more not useful years?
It was a lot of work. I worked like 17 hours a day. It was a little rough. I was like 19 and I was going through a rough time, and it was like a year of me drinking a handle of Captain Morgan by myself and in a night. And yeah.
Really?
That's actually, yeah, I had a pretty bad drinking problem. And I actually, after I joined the military, I ended up going to rehab. And it took me about 3 or 4 years to get it under control, to where now I can have a couple beers or a couple glasses of wine.
I apologize. First thing, like, hey, here's Brad, who we cut ties with a minute ago. And you like a beer? Yeah. Just want to make sure it's still going. How did that happen? Like, I don't want to, like, really dig the whole thing up, but it's fascinating to me. Like, I was relatively good until I was older. Like, right now, I'm the most bag of shit I've ever been.
Being
so young, like, how did just partying with no?
No, I went through a really hard time with family and had some pretty messed up stuff happen, and I didn't really deal with it very well, and so I kind of just went into. I was literally drinking a fifth of Captain Morgan almost every night by myself at 19 years old. Now I'm like, give me, you know, 3 beers, and I'm like, woo, let's do this. So. You know, and after I got out of boot camp, I fell kind of back into it again. So I checked myself into a rehab, and it was awesome. I got to play 3 hours of volleyball on the beach every day. It was like a vacation. I always tell people in the military, if you get sick of it and want to go on vacation, just tell them you have a drinking problem.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Remember that, people. Was it only when you went to the military that you decided you needed help, or before that?
Oh, it was before that. That's why I joined the military.
What was happening or made you like...
I was missing... I lived with my sister at the time, and I actually shared bunk beds with my five-year-old nephew. And I kept missing a bunch of stuff of his, like, his, is that Brad again?
I think this is actually Chim.
Chim?
Hello?
Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chiru. Hello? Chim.
What the fuck is going on?
See, this is why I hate technology, because it hates me back.
Chimmy!
Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim True. Hey, Chim, buddy.
What is he doing? It's the most bizarre thing ever. It sounds like he's just breathing.
Mouth breather.
Maybe he's dying. He's sad. Don't die, Chim. We love you.
Okay, so
yeah,
anyway,
you were sharing a bed with him. Jesus Christ.
Chim. Chim, hello. Chim, hi.
Why is this not working? Buddy.
Did you try turning it off and then turning back on again?
Shut your face. I don't know why it's not working.
Sorry, Chim. We love you anyway.
I'll text him and tell him to call me directly. Directly.
So yeah, I was sharing a bunk bed with my nephew, and I was always missing his... you know, his martial arts tournaments and his football games and all that. And I missed one, and he had a bad dream. He crawled into bed with me, and I said, hey, buddy, you know, I'm sorry I missed your thing today. And he said, that's okay. I understand that your drinking's more important than my stuff.
Whoa.
And it was just like a genuine five-year-old, like, he understood, like, it's okay, Auntie Sarah. And I was just like, I'm an asshole, you know. And the next day I went into the recruiter's office because I was like, I need to make a change and something needs to happen, so... Next day I went in and signed up, and 6 months later I was in boot camp.
Man, that's... Doesn't really get more brutal than that. What the fuck?
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, like from a kid anyway.
He,
I mean, of course
he got,
it, course
he got older
worse.
And now he can beat me up.
Yes, hello, sir.
Chim.
Buddy.
Dude, Chim, you're messing. Chim, you're messing with my heart here. You keep calling, and they say that they don't know if you're cool or not.
What's going on?
What the fuck?
Stone Cold Chimmy.
All right, I like Chimmy.
Hang on, buddy. Hang on.
Was it just not plugged in all the way?
No, it's fucking cunt. God damn it. There he is. Hey,
Chim.
Yes, what's going on?
Jesus
Hi,
Christ,
Chim,
sorry.
How are you?
This show has been literally riddled with technical difficulties and bullshit, but it's glad to hear from you. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're just reminiscing about Sarah's legendary donk and her drinking problem right
Apparently,
now.
Apparently, I was a legend back in the old Glenwood days when I was like 19 years old.
Maybe that's what it was.
Nice.
I think that's what it was. I was 19 and nobody ever carded me, so I always got into the clubs and bars. The club, I guess. So, Chim, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm writing a script for the TMP right now. So it's going to be epic. It's a holiday version.
Brad's podcast.
So it's probably... Brad's going to probably pass out when he hears it, so...
Oh, that's sweet.
There's a lot of weird lovey-dubbiness between
Brad and
Chim. All us Twitter bros. You have been a hit. You were on my show a couple days ago, and, man, people are all over that thing, man. Let me say man again, because sounds really awesome. God, I'm fucking dying.
Yeah,
what's wrong with me?
Dude, I'm trying really hard not to burp into the microphone
burp
right
into,
now
just
because I don't
just
drink
give it.
Beer very
just
often,
it.
So
just,
it makes me burp a lot.
Just go for it.
Okay, well, you're going to regret that. So,
well, Chim won't. He's down with that
shit. Yeah, there's been a lot of love out there, man. You know, like a lot of new people coming in, and so it's pretty fucking cool, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, sir. What are your thoughts on hot blonde 19-year-olds?
Love them.
See.
Who doesn't? They're still dependent.
Let's see.
At that
I
age.
Was. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like I'd be more of a father figure, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
girls with daddy issues and low self-esteem, who doesn't love them?
Who's your daddy? Come on.
I don't know. Who said you can't pick your
daddy? Oh, my God. Jim, I'm going to ask you a really personal question here, buddy.
Okay.
Let's see if you can, you know, sift through everything. Excuse me, and tell us, what's your absolute worst hookup at a bar type of situation story? Like, just nothing could go more wrong.
Okay, I was going to actually save this for our next our live broad, our podcast, but we'll go ahead and do it now. Okay, so I threw a little party. I took all my office out to a local bar the night before Thanksgiving, and we all got really hammered, and you know, I was talking with plenty of women, you know, it happens, and next thing you know, I'm kind of blacked out, and then like hours later I wake up in a strange place, and I'm literally like my arms underneath like Cameron Mannheim, and I'm like, fuck, do I chew my arm off? Or I mean, you know, I'm looking around, you know, like maybe I can, like, you know, break a table leg or something and beat the thing off. I don't know, man. It was crazy. I was like freaking out. So like I'm trying to get my arm out, and like she like wakes up. I'm like, oh shit. And I guess, you know, it's like Thanksgiving morning. And so like my quick out was
you didn't have to get out of bed. You had the whole fucking meal right there for you.
Oh god.
Oh Jesus. Yeah, that turkey was definitely stuffed for Thanksgiving, I'll tell you that. So
god damn, bro.
Anyways,
Jim is calling from Baghdad,
I basically play stupid. I'm like, hey, what day is it? She's like, oh, Thanksgiving. I'm like,
all right, he's apparently drowning and dying.
oh, that's funny.
Cameron Mannheim. Isn't that the big chick from one of the Law & Order shows?
I think so. I'm not sure. I have a funny similar story, but I mean, I don't really have the drunken bar hookup stories, but
really?
I was talking to this really hot guy at a bar. There's Chim again.
Cunt.
Hi, Chim.
Chim from Baghdad, you're on the air. Yeah.
No, I took the headset off, so fuck you.
He told me to go for it, sorry.
Okay, so you what day is it? Is that what happened?
So yeah, I asked what day it was, and like she said Thanksgiving, so I'm like, fuck, I need to be in Vegas. She's like, why do you need to be in Vegas? I was like, I just need to. And fucking, I got dressed and like hauled ass out there. The worst part about it is I left behind a $350 pair of Persol sunglasses, which I never went back for.
Well, it's your fault for spending $350 on
Chim a
pair
of fancy
sunglasses.
Man. He's a fancy man. He needs accessories. That's pretty rough, bro.
So yeah,
my entire outfit costs like $35.
And 31 of it is pants, yeah. Just saying.
Pretty much. Gotta love the thrift store.
I actually bought socks for $40 the other day. So
yeah. All right, you're a dick.
Hey Chim, you wanna go to dinner here sometime?
Sure, come on up. Anytime.
what's obviously you're not gonna burn it, but what's a little preview for the TMP you're writing? Just give me burn one little bit.
Okay, let me hold on, let me get... So
Jesus.
Right now we've got about seven different TMP or Twitter Hat Trick Club members involved on it. So I'll just go ahead and give you a little bit of a hint. We have commercial breaks that include dead celebrity like gift sets. Like a Franklin Mint limited edition Natalie Wood life preserver, never been used. we also have a pair of gently used sunny.
That's good enough, dude. Some skis, okay, you asshole.
Okay. That's just a tease.
Oh, that's so fucking funny, man.
It's going along really good. Everybody involved is taking everything to a whole different level. I mean, you know, Alex Hernandez came in and just ripped it up as our commercial announcer. Mike Robinson just knocked it out of the park. Bo's whatever his name is. He is working like a madman. So he is kicking ass. So
you should probably throw in there the well-worn box spring of Chim Richels. 2008 Thanksgiving.
No shit. God, I probably have that thing gold plated or bronzed or some shit, you know.
Yeah.
Never
done, buddy.
So sell springs out of it, you know.
Broken ones.
But, yeah, you know, the one thing is working with all these Hat Trick Club members. I mean, in the past, I mean, you know the kind of stuff that we've done, but we give an idea and then they just take it to a whole different level. They write it pretty funny, you know, me and DJ do. And then all of a sudden it's just like they, you know, ad lib it and it gets 10 times better, which is just amazing. So
we're lucky to have a lot of brilliant people around us right now, buddy.
Yeah. It's awesome. So the live version the holiday episode coming up here is going to be, probably as epic, if not a little bit better, which is hard to do, than the J-Cobb roast. So that was, at the ballpark, that was pretty good. Everybody did well on that one. So
right on, man. Well, we're going to let you go, 'cause Brad apparently is trying to get through, but thanks for hitting us up and, we'll talk soon. Okay, brother.
Bye, Chim.
Cool. Yeah. You know what? Tell Brad to fucking wait. You know, he's probably got another cat. Brad's always got to come in and steal my fucking thunder. All right. I'm out of here.
All right,
much
Chim.
Love you
don't
guys.
Much love, brother.
Don't let your meatloaf.
All right. Take care.
Fucking guy. All right. So you said no bar hookups. You started telling a story.
Oh,
about...
yeah. I was talking to this really good looking guy at a bar, which I really don't do very often. I go to a bar to play pool and have a couple drinks, and pretty much everybody can fuck off.
And wear a tank top with golf pants and ruin every man's night. You dick. I don't remember.
Well, no,
okay?
I actually let my roommate dress me that night in one of her shirts, and it was kind of low cut, not too bad, but lower cut than I'm used to wearing. And I'm outside, and this was back when I smoked, and we were out at the smoke pit, and this guy's talking to me, and he kind of leans over, and he flicks his cigarette, and the cherry went right down my shirt in between my cleavage and got stuck, the cherry of the cigarette.
Oh,
and
the,
so I'm just like, I'm just burning.
Jesus.
And
I'm just burning.
And the guy just looks at me, and he turns around and just walks away. And I was like, man, if he would have just like dumped his beer on my chest, I probably would have gotten his number or something. But he just turned around, walked away, and let me burn. Like,
whoa,
that was like the
worst.
That's
some next level pickup. Like,
I was
here,
like, really,
flick,
dude? Yeah. And then
the
he just saw me,
and
I'm sitting there like screaming, like reaching my hand down my shirt, trying to get it out. And the guy's just like, oh yeah, this is blown, and turned around and walked away.
Little did he know he was halfway home. If he just went like, good. Like started you on fire, and then with the other hand threw the beer.
Yeah, if he would have doused me in his beer to like at least put me out or something after you light me on fire on a first date. I mean, come on.
Sorry, need to get a little beer in there.
A little beer in there. Wait, hold on, extra gold.
Yeah, I love the Muffy guest pictures. Muffy, you know. Anyway,
yeah, that took me a second.
All right. Let's get serious here, because
serious face. Okay.
You pulled off the most amazing, like interesting or most interesting man in the world, the Dos Equis guy. You were like,
the Dos Equis guy. That's how I roll.
That's very good.
I don't always go on podcasts, but when I do.
Do that again. That's fucking great.
Oh, wait, hold on.
There it is. Perfect.
Oh, wow.
So, okay.
But when I do, I take a Dos Equis most interesting man in the world picture.
And it's very good. The partying, the rehab led you to the Navy.
Yes.
Where, to be honest, I don't even really know why. I mean, that's not true. I do know why I asked you to do this in the first place, but, like, trying to actually formulate it into, like, this is exactly why was really hard for me. I was really nervous about this whole thing today. I'm so glad you were actually game and not, like, you know, really standoffish about the whole thing. Besides, like, you know, not drinking anymore, you know, deciding to get clean and all that kind of stuff, like, what has it done for you?
Oh, it's done a lot. I mean, it definitely pulled my head out of my ass. It's, 'cause I don't go on ships. I'm not on that part of the Navy. I'm a CB, so I do construction. So we're basically...
Have you seen Down Periscope? That's my entire...
We don't want this operation run by somebody who has "Welcome Aboard" tattooed on his genitalia.
That's the
entire...
No,
I've never seen that movie.
That's the entire extent of my knowledge of the Navy.
Yeah, right? Well, you know, it's surprisingly a lot like that.
Jesus, Buckman!
It tastes like cream corn. It's deviled ham! No,
were you ever made to wear a shrunken uniform?
No, they do. It is a little bit
bring
more...
in the shrunken uniform.
He actually has a midget back there with his shrunken uniform.
That is,
it's kind of
weird,
weird.
Right? You didn't expect that.
I told you it was gonna get weird. Let's get weird. It's a little bit difficult being a woman in the military. I grew up doing construction. I started doing concrete. I picked up my first concrete trowel when I was 3 years old, so I'm kind of used to that, but, it's a lot of people don't take us seriously. They're kind of like, you don't know how to do construction. And I'm kind of like, I just lifted that 90.
Well, it's just a woman thing, isn't it? Like, if you're in a man arena of whatever kind.
Yeah, pretty much. And so there's a little bit, you know, they give you shit sometimes, but I mean, I've always been pretty good about, you know, people. I earn people's respect pretty quick, and it usually takes me beating the shit out of some dude within like a week. If you've ever seen The New Guy, they're like, when you go into jail, you pick the biggest, baddest dude in the yard, and you beat the shit out of him. Yeah. That's kind of
you?
Yeah, that's kind of, and it's funny because the dude's like all, you know, he's like, this chick's never going to be able to do anything. So he underestimates me. It's not like I'm a badass. It's just that, like, he gives it to me pretty much. And then I make him look like he's a
jackass.
What
does that
jackass.
Mean, though? Gives it to you?
What, he pretty much,
he gives
like...
gives you, like, one little tap, and then you armbar and break his elbow? Or what?
Kinda.
Is that true?
No, how I got my little reputation of being a badass, which I'm really not, is that, some guy thought that it would be cute to pick me up over his shoulder, which throws his head to the side, which gives me perfect leverage for the guillotine. So, you know, I wrapped that around, tapped him out in about 2 seconds, which he gave it to me just because he underestimated me. And then everybody's like, oh, she's badass. Don't mess with
that's
her.
A little bit cheating. Like, he thought he was being kind of fun, and you're like, no, I'm going to kill you for playing around with me.
Well, I told him not to mess with me. I was like, no, dude, I really don't like you. You're kind of an asshole.
And by the way, if you've never been in a guillotine choke... It's fucking terrible. I've never been knocked out with one, and I think that's what made it worse. Like,
oh yeah,
you're just in it for 10 seconds and it just hurts, and
you
can
you
still breathe,
that,
and it
you
just hurts.
You want to be knocked out by it? Yeah.
Well, it just hurts. Like, yeah. I mean, it's one thing when they close your windpipe and you go out, or they close the carotid.
It's
go
worse
out.
When you get into it by a girl, because then everyone makes.
I wouldn't care
them.
About that.
So.
I feel like I would rather have like a triangle from a girl. Because at least
I'd
pass out
guys
into a vagina.
Hope that they do that. But no, and so, you know, I got that happened to me, and then a bunch of people saw it, and I got this reputation as badass when I'm really not. And I was just like, yeah, you have no idea. I'll kill you. You know, I went with it, and then, you know, because
did you ever like fight or MMA or any of that stuff?
Yeah, I used to do. I did MMA when I was here with Pat.
That's stupid ass.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, Pat and Jared and all them. And then
where's he at?
Jared,
he moved to
Battlement Mesa. He was working at the Bayou, bouncing at the Bayou. He grew a beard, so he looks kind of like different. But he went into the army. Anyway, so
I thought you guys went in together. You just went at the same time.
No, like pretty much like about a month after I joined, he joined the Army, and then
I remember. Do you remember I think it was you and your mom
came in, and you gave my mom
the hookup,
the frames and the glass. Didn't give them to her, but
all right.
Well, you know.
No, I remember like that was. I think that might have been the last time I saw you.
I think so, actually, because that was right after I joined, and then I came down, my mom's glasses had broken, I was like, well, let's go to 2020, I know a guy there, and...
It was very weird, like, how sad I was that you were leaving.
Aww.
And I don't really know why, it's not like we hung out a handful of times.
Yeah.
Hangful? God, why... am I dying? Like, is there something going
we
on?
We hand out a hungful of times.
yeah, I don't know what it was, it was just like... I guess I always thought you were somehow, like... above any of the hanging out and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I was
let me mull that over while we talk to Brad.
Hi, Brad.
How's it going?
Oh, great. How are you?
Very good. I brought you some disinfectant.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I'm sure you need that after Jim's call.
He was actually, you know, sort of respectful. We did talk a little bit about
he was very charming.
His worst hookup experience.
I found out that he paid $40 for a pair of socks, and I asked him to go to dinner with me.
Wow. Hey, did you ever ask Trevante what he paid $40 for?
What'd you pay $40 for, TJ?
It's a few things. Pinstripe suit would be one.
Pinstripe suit. Okay, there you go.
A 9mm. A half and half from a Puerto Rican midget.
Did you ever find out how many people that 9mm killed before you bought it for $40?
No.
Okay.
But I did buy it from
a
black guy, so I'm thinking. Oh, now we're. Okay, Brad, she just doubled over laughing. I haven't made her laugh this whole show. She's into the racist humor. All right.
Oh, no. Don't. Please don't start me on that. I'm going to get in trouble.
Mm.
Chim says that Trevante also tried to touch you.
What does that mean? Did I try to touch you?
Can we talk about something else,
please?
No, tried
to touch him. I can't. I'm sorry. I got some easy YouTube here.
Oh.
I don't even know how that works.
I was going to say, how did you know that? I told him not to tell anybody about that.
My hand might be on her thigh right now, working its way north, but whatever, you know?
Yeah. He's about to have a shank in his balls here in a second.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. That's
what?
Funny.
How do you have a shake in your ball?
So anyway, Brad.
What happened to you guys at the... Yeah, go ahead.
What's up?
Nice.
Not much. What happened to you guys at the end of my podcast? You guys just started yours and then all the sound went away.
No, dude, you were like, fuck them. And then we heard you say that I was ugly and couldn't read good. And then you just left. I was really offended.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You know,
she can read awesome.
It, though.
I am very literate, Bradley. Okay, I know words and stuff.
That just reminded me, like Brad, you watch Futurama?
I don't.
Well, there's
but
one.
You
scene.
Can tell the joke. I'll laugh appropriately. Okay.
Sure. There's one scene where Leela calls Fry a lazy sack of crap, and he goes sack, like he totally takes umbrage with like the wrong word, like.
No, right. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. You got to take on
I prefer
the wrong
luggage.
It's a different angle.
Samsonite.
Hey, I was going to ask you guys what you thought about this comedy routine I'm writing. I write these all the time.
I hate it. It sucks, Brad.
I've never delivered one, but I just want to know what you sort of thought about the concept. And the concept is that, you know, and this is like what it's like being like 43, okay? And maybe, I don't know, you guys could probably appreciate this in like 20 years or something like that, but. For me, that's my world. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed is, like, you know, my friends are having kids and, you know, whatever else, and they get all just ridiculously overprotective. Like, I cannot imagine these people that I grew up with becoming overprotective parents. But, you know, they're afraid of their kids meeting strangers and everything else. Well, never mind that they, like, married someone that they met on online dating and, you know, like more than hooked up with the first time they went out, you know, but they're afraid of strangers. What do you think of the premise?
No, it's good. I mean, we're in for some of the most ridiculous stories of heartbreak, of triumph. Like, dating right this second is the most ridiculous notion ever. She's nodding and smiling. What, do you agree?
The last date I went on, because I'm not a big fan of, like, going on a date. Like, it kind of freaks me out. Because the last
let's frame things real quick. Apparently, Brad is set up. At this second, I'm set up. So you're the only dater here. So you need to help us.
I'm not a dater. The last date I went on was literally, like, 2.5 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I don't go to dinner with people I don't really know. Like, I don't go on dates. So
you asked Chim on a date.
I was joking, because he apparently
has... He's not joking.
He apparently has 40...
Chim's not joking.
He's not joking. Chim is Patrick Bateman. Like, if you don't go on a date with him, your head's going to end up in his fucking freezer, okay?
He'll try. No, I mean, he spends $40 on a pair of socks. I can only imagine what he would do for a girl.
Leave him alone with the socks.
Anyway.
Jesus.
So I went on this date with this dude. I didn't really know him very well. It was like we had met at, like, a grocery store, and I gave him my number for some odd reason. I do that once every 3 or 4 years and realize why I don't give strangers my number. And we went to dinner, and he made fun of the way I say Colorado, because he said it's supposed to be said Colorado. And then, you know, and I was like, all right, you know, thanks for dinner. I'm going to go home.
Was he from Nevada?
No, but he he did. Well, he might have been, actually, because he told me that I needed to go to Vegas. And I was like, well, I've never been. This was back then. And I said, well, I've never been to Vegas. And he said, well, we're going to go next weekend. And I was like, yeah, we're not. I don't think that's a good idea. And he said, if I have to duct tape you up and throw you in my trunk, we're going to Vegas. And I was like, dude, I don't know you, and you just told me you're going to kidnap me. Like, this is not good second date material. I'm going to go home, and, you know, I won't see you later. So,
I feel like I... Was that me?
Oh, my God,
never,
it was.
It feels, like, familiar. I don't know.
No, it was definitely weird.
Sorry, we went on a total thing. Like, what did we answer the question properly, Brad, or did we not really?
Okay, no, I did have an example for you, Brad. If you ever watch How I Met Your Mother, when Lily and Marshall have their kid and they do the flashback, and they do a flashback of Lily shoplifting and then, like, punching the dude out or something and running away, and it was totally ridiculous, and they're like, that chick is a mom now, you know, and then they they show a picture of Marshall, like,
right, and she's
streaking through town,
forgotten what it's like to be a kid,
yeah, and they're like, that guy is a dad now, you know. They do the flashbacks, and it's like, you know, I just barely got my parents to open up to me about... my parents are in their 60s. I just barely got them to open up to me, and my mom was like, yeah, your dad and I tried to quit smoking cigarettes by smoking more pot one time, and I was just like, what?
Brad, you and Sarah got to steer this. I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, very good. So it's like, it's, you know, the show that Trevante and I listen to, the J-More Sports radio show. I don't know how he listens to it, but I listen to it on iHeartRadio on the Fox Sports Radio national feed. And so instead of having local commercials and stuff, it's got a lot of national commercials and PSAs. Like, one of the PSAs is, it's about Amber Alerts. And it's like, parents, you know the feeling. You're sitting at the park watching your little daughter, and then all of a sudden you look to the right, and then you look and you can't see her, and you go into a panic. And then your heart starts to beat. You don't know where she is and all this stuff. And then finally she pops up from under the swing and says, hi, mommy. And then you feel okay. But what if she didn't pop up from under the swing? How would we find her? And, you know, it's all about Amber Alerts. So I'm like, my God, I mean, who listens to this and identifies with this?
Well, my parents do, because when I was 5 years old, I walked... I don't know if you know the Glenwood area at all, but I walked from downtown Glenwood by the Hot Springs Pool Bridge.
All right, let's try it again. Okay. What the fuck?
Sorry, continue, Brad, please.
All right, Brad.
Okay, so...
God damn it.
I'm an enigma. I'm funny as hell on Twitter, or at
political
least
psychopath, yeah, and go ahead. Go.
Right, and then on Facebook, I'm like this serious, you know, rights guy. You know, just different audiences and stuff. But it's strange, because I'll cut right to the chase here, which is that... I totally respect what you do, and you're fighting for your country, and you're willing to be shipped out, you know, to all these places, and you do a tour in Afghanistan. At least that's what I know of you. What I hate is that we have a government that sends you to do it, and I hated it since the day they started. And you know, I have many friends my own age who you know were moved by 9/11 and signed up and went and did their tours and everything else. And you know, I respect and thank them for that. I text every one of them on Veterans Day, but it just makes me sick that our government does that to you.
You're one of the few people who actually seems to understand that. Yeah, I might get in trouble for saying this. I don't agree with the wars. I don't think we should be over there. I don't think we should be spending our money on foreign aid in Afghanistan. But I love the fact that we have people who they don't support the wars and they don't support us going over there, but they support the troops. And that's amazing because I've known a lot of Vietnam vets who just I knew a couple of guys who were borderline suicidal because when they came home, just because people didn't support that war, they completely spat on the troops who came home. And I'm really grateful for people like you who can, you know, you realize that you know, we shouldn't be over there, but then you can still support the individual troops. And dogs and things.
Brad was
just
killed.
Yeah, I'm going to go take care of him. You guys have a good time, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, Brad.
Thank
it was
you,
good
buddy.
To talk to you. See you
All
later.
All right, wait. Take care.
All right. No more calls. We're done. Because I don't want to... I don't know what keeps happening, why it keeps shutting off, but I'm done with it. I guess, like, lately... This is what I thought about when I was, you know, trying to kind of prep for you and stuff like that. When you said that just now, that, you know, you do it because you're supposed to, and you don't agree with the reason necessarily. I'm trying to figure out, like,
what goes through my head when I'm over there, not wanting to be over there. Or?
No. What is it like knowing that you're fighting for a country of assholes? And you know what I mean. We're talking about Duck Dynasty's bullshit. We're talking about, you know, okay, so...
Yeah, we're fighting for freedom of speech when we don't have it kind of thing, pretty much.
That, we're talking about, you know, Obamacare. We're talking about, you know, shootings. Like, let's start with that. The shooting stuff, like, how does that, like, okay, forget the school shootings. The
Batman shooting?
No. Where the officer came on base with a disassembled shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Like, that guy.
When that
I
stuff
think
happens,
that guy should have been shot in the head and when it happened. I really
does
think
that, does that ever, like...
Come, yeah, like, it does. And you know, the thing with that is that I can't think about that kind of stuff. I mean, I do, but at the same time, what I try to remember is, like, when I went to Afghanistan, I had a very rare... opportunity. My first deployment, I was able to work with SEAL Team 6 back when I wasn't allowed to talk about it.
No shit.
Yeah, and they did a lot of crazy stuff, and we saw what they did, and they ended up saving an entire town that was right below our base, and we watched it. And the terrorists had come down. They had taken pretty much the entire town hostage because the town was helping us out, and they started executing people and executing people's families. And this team went up, and we were like, oh, they're getting all geared up. Some shit's going to go down. Let's watch. And, you know, they went in there, and they just annihilated all these terrorists, and the town was fine after that. And, you know, it sucks because you look at stuff like that, and you realize, yeah, we're helping people over there. Like, I don't think that we should push democracy on them at all. I think, yeah, hey, let's freaking get rid of the Taliban and then get out of there if we can. But, you know, you sit there and you think about all the bullshit. We're fighting for the Constitution when the Constitution is pretty much a paper that the government uses to wipe their ass now. I mean, it's invalid. They're taking away gun rights. They're taking away freedom of speech. They're taking away everything. And it's really frustrating because it's like we're over there. And it goes to show that they have no respect for our military because they're starting to take away retirement benefits. They're trying to take away our family separation pay for people who are married with children, our hazardous duty pay, and all that stuff. And it's just like, well, you know, how are you going to get people, you know, if we go into the next war, how are you going to get people to sign up to fight? You know, really, how are you going to do that?
Do you ever feel like in the middle of all that, like, why the fuck am I doing this? Or are you like committed at this point? And it's
I'm committed. I've always been It's more like I knew what I was doing when I signed up. I was older than most people. I was 21 when I signed up, and I had just turned 21, and I came in, and I kind of, I'd had a lot of jobs before, and I kind of knew the political, the political side of it, and I was like, I know that I'm gonna probably be forced to do some things that I don't really like to do, but I'm one of those people that I will draw the line between right and wrong, and if they want to kick me out of the military or if they want to court-martial me for it, then they can do it. Because
have you ever come close to that? Has anything ever come across your plate where you were like, I can't?
I got threatened with court-martial 2 deployments ago in Africa. Because I'm a sapper. I'm a sexual assault victim advocate. So if somebody gets sexually assaulted, they come to me. And I go through the paperwork and I'm
there. What'd you call it?
A sexual assault victim advocate. Yep. Well, SAPR, it's the sexual assault prevention and response or whatever now.
Right.
But we had a big issue in Africa, and we had 5 girls come up with issues against one guy, and it was a lot of harassment, and one of them was actually an assault case, and I brought it up, and they were all confidential. They didn't want NCIS to investigate. They just wanted it to be taken care of. And a couple of the people who were in charge figured out who some of these girls were and approached them and spoke to them about it, made them really uncomfortable. And they couldn't figure out who the other girl was, and they asked me, and I was like, I'm not going to give her name up. It's confidentiality. They said, if you don't give us her name, then you're going to go to court martial. I said, all right, let's play. Let's go.
What the fuck? That's insane.
They were full of shit because they couldn't take me to court martial because the commanding officer can say whether or not I have to do that. But I was like, you guys really want to spend the money to go to court martial over this? I was like, I'm not going to risk the mental health of this girl for whatever you're going to try to do, you know, whatever report you want to write on it. Like, if she doesn't want you guys to know her name, I'm not going to give you her name. And I got threatened with that. And then it's been a little rough, the political side of it, because I can play the political game, but I don't. I really don't like it. I mean, it's simple. We go, we build stuff. We go in there, we work hard, we get out. That's how it should be. It shouldn't be all this political bullshit that, you know, I'm going to write this down that I did it for my evaluation so I can make the next rank or whatever. It's just, that part's rough. The political part's rough for me. But
what do you want out of this whole thing in the end?
A paycheck. that sounds bad.
Fair.
I mean,
no, it's fair
it's,
enough, like...
it's a very fulfilling job. I mean, it's. I also, my second deployment to Afghanistan, I got the rare opportunity to do convoys in Afghanistan, and we were actually able to, you know, drive through the towns, and you know, the kids would run up to us, and you know, we'd get to throw candy to them, and they loved it, and we were able to talk to a lot of the locals, and they're really good people. The Afghanis are great people. They're very hospitable. They're very warm people. It's just, you know, just like any culture, any race, there's the good ones, there's the bad ones.
Sure.
And seeing what they go through and seeing what they don't have is really, it's kind of heartbreaking. And knowing that we're able to do even the little bit that we can to, you know, give them a little bit of water, throw a couple candy bars out there, even just those small comforts feels good. Going over, when I was in Africa, we were able to build clinics and schools and stuff for the local communities out there, which was really awesome. And out there, you know, they don't have shoes, they don't have water, they have nothing out there. And it really makes you think about, you know, I sit here and cry because my cable went out. And, you know, and it really makes you realize how thankful you should be for things that you have. And it's very fulfilling to realize that you can help people out like that. And that's really, that's a big part of it. And that's really what keeps me going through it.
So, I don't know how to keep asking you this whole thing, but, like, this week has been really bizarre. Like, I feel like our life, as far as, like, you know, Americans anymore, is bullshit and deflection, deception, you know, maybe flat out lying. Like, does that ever fuck with your resolve?
It does a little bit. I actually, I went through a few years ago.
Are we cool talking about this?
Like, yeah. I'll talk about whatever.
You're not gonna get in trouble because I fucking. What do you think about gay rights and right? You're,
no, okay, no, okay, no. Okay. It does sometimes. I went through a really rough time a few years ago where I was just like, it was right when we got back from Afghanistan and we'd lost some people, not in my battalion, but some people that we knew that we did convoys with, and we got blown up a lot, and some of our guys got hurt, and it was a rough deployment. And, we came back, and it was like we came back, and then everything, when you come back to California is almost more stressful than, because you're like, oh, man, I got to pay bills now. I got to do laundry now. I have to cook my own food now instead of going to the galley. And it's just a total, a switch is flipped where you have to be, you go back into society and all that. And I had a really rough time with it, and I started going to equine therapy, actually, and it really helped me out because I was on like 3 different sleeping pills and some antidepressants and stuff, and started going up there, and I'm off all of that now, and it's just it's really about your outlook on it, because you really got to look for the positive things that happen. Like, I've started volunteering a lot. You see a lot of good people out there who, they want to do good in the world, and they're out there, with their free time trying to help people and trying to do some good in the world. And it really helps out a lot when you kind of just change your view from all this negativity to something that's good that's happening in America or something like that. And you have to keep that positive outlook, or it's depressing.
Well, I was trying to figure out how to ask this exactly, because, somebody that is in your position, I mean, in the end, you want, the positive outcome. You don't want to believe that, all this stuff that you're working for is lies and bullshit.
Yeah.
But then, somebody like me, and, a lot of, Facebook is ridiculous, I realize that. But, there are some people that get it, They understand that, having a fucking old man with a beard yelling about gays is an effective tool to, not worry about, failed healthcare plans and all, stuff like that. We're like,
it's a deflection.
I don't even know if this is true, but like I saw something on Facebook today that was like, hey, that wedding that I droned, like, can you run that Duck Dynasty thing on Front Page for me? That sounds ridiculous, but like, if you look at the last year, whenever something is really awful going on,
they grab
Zimmerman,
or they grab something super petty that's happened time and time again in the past, and they blow it up into this big thing.
Yeah, they grab I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy in Cleveland, I think, that rescued the girls that were just stuff like that, like. Of course, we want those things to be real. Like, if there's 3 girls that are being held captive for 15 years, we want them pulled out.
Yeah.
We don't care if it happens now or if it happens right after, only 30,000 people sign up for ACA in Colorado.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I listen to the news occasionally because I like to know what's going on. But, you have Fox News and you have CNN, and it's like, depending on which one you watch, it's just a totally biased media. And they're like, hey, we're Republican. We hate everything that the Democrats are doing, and they're the bad guys. Or you go to CNN, and it's, we're Democratic, and all the Republicans are the bad guys. And they always want to flip everything around. And I worked in news when I, before I moved out here, I worked in a newspaper. And you see just how much the media flips everything to make it sound good or to make it more appealing to the people or to, serve what they want to happen is, it's profound what they do with it. And so
it's crazy.
It's worse than reality TV anymore. Yeah. And you'll watch.
Now it's more about the get and the scoop than the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how easy it is to like run a hoax.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Or just to run some bullshit, like, you know, somebody just says something, and, you know, if it hits Twitter, you're done.
What did I do? I put rest in peace Denzel Washington or something.
I did, Facebook too. That's just funny.
Was it? Or no, you said that. I put rest in peace. Who did I put? Someone. I put something up there, and then everybody was like, and then everyone started posting Facebook statuses about it.
It was terrible.
They're like, I can't believe this person died. And I'm like, you didn't even, because, you know, Google's totally reliable. I'm like, you didn't even Google it? Like,
well, okay, let me break down how terrible my friends are on Facebook. Nelson Mandela.
Is a commie, apparently, well, according to some people.
You know, arguably one of the greatest men that, you know, will ever have the privilege of learning about, knowing about, anything like that. He passes away. And, of course, you know, there's a ton of people that are like, oh, my God, Mandela, you know, 95, yeah. He's finally passed.
They know nothing about him.
Well, no, there's ones that know about him, and then there's ones that are, you know, younger than us that are like, who? You know, like, who's this guy? How did this go? Okay. In my timeline, it goes, Mandela passes, right? And then somebody goes, you know, RIP Nelson Mandela with a picture of Morgan Freeman. And then somebody's like, oh my God, Morgan Freeman died. RIP Morgan Freeman.
Wow.
My friend, yeah. I'm going to give him, I don't think he was the one that came up with this, but I'm going to give it to you because you posted it and I fucking died laughing. Alexander Cassidy, overseas, Hornswoggle looking motherfucker. He posted, you know, we lost a great man in Nelson Mandela, rest in peace. And no shit, he posted Uncle Ben from the fucking Rice Box. And like, I know that that's fucked up, but like, I'm like, this is gonna pass because people don't understand, they don't know.
Well, yeah.
And then we started, you know, we just kept it going, and I'm like, you know, fuck, I loved American Gangsters, one of my favorite movies, RIP Denzel. And they're like, oh my God, Denzel. I'm like, like, we're just a bunch of assholes. They're like uneducated assholes.
I have a crew right now. I just got put on as crew leader for a building, a block building, and most of my crew are 19, 20 years old. Half of them didn't know who Kurt Russell was. I said something about Kurt Russell, and they were like, who? And I was like, Escape from L.A., Escape from New York, this and that.
You tell them I'm coming! And yeah. Hell's coming with me, you hear?
Exactly. And then
Hell's coming with me!
Sorry, I just watched that. So.
And then I said something about Gina Davis, and they were like, who's that? And I was like, A League of Their Own, and they said, what's that? And I was like, there's no crying in baseball! They were like, what are you talking about? I was like, how do people not know what I'm talking about? And they're just, you know.
Well, that's fine. That's just like pop culture stuff. But, I mean,
well, history,
no one knows
and, yeah.
anything about anything anymore.
No.
And, I, you know, I'm guilty. Like, as well-read and, you know, smart as I want to come across, like, I don't know a ton, you know? But here's a man that does know a ton.
Eric.
Oh, hello.
Eric, how are you, buddy?
Oh, hello there. What are you doing?
Oh, hello, Priest.
We are...
I just got back from Japan, so that's really funny.
Why is that funny?
Hello?
Oh, that is weird.
I can barely hear that.
Hello.
Sorry.
Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Yeah. Yes, sir. How are you? Thank you.
I'm surviving.
This is Eric
back to the house.
Eric Psychotic Smith. He what? Are you guys friends? Do you know each other?
I'm just an angry little man. That's what I am.
Well, let's talk to Eric for a second. What's going on, buddy? Why are you angry?
What?
Why are you angry? What's going on?
Actually, tonight is production night. We're at my house. Killsign's working on tracks, and SJ's there, and I guess a couple of the guys are coming over. We're going to work on new material to release, so.
What kind of new material?
Mostly, like, EDM, trance, and some dark wave and things like that tonight.
That sounds
we're wrapping up side projects, so we start working
dark.
On albums.
Well, I'm glad we went from, you know, the finer points of our failed government to...
trance.
it's all about drugs, though. I mean, at least we're on that same thread.
All right, fair enough.
See?
I would like to...
I can make anything relative to sex or drugs.
Jesus. Yeah. I would like to take
Winnie
this opportunity...
the Pooh.
What is going on with your microphone? Fuck. I would like to take this opportunity to thank my new boss and mentor, Eric Psychotic Smith, for adding me to the family of Prophecy Records. Dude, when you sent me that message,
don't
I was like...
Don't call me a boss. Don't call me a boss. That's a bad thing.
What? Am I supposed to say it? Boss? Boss? Stop asking out every caller. What's wrong with you? We've had a handful of callers, and she's asking out everyone. So are you free later? Stop wrecking everything.
I don't think it's working. There we go. I said, can I call you boss? Because I call people boss. What's up, boss? That's how I roll.
Yeah,
like a boss.
It's the same as what people call, like girls call the guys their boo. Like, I just want to choke those people.
Do they?
Yeah.
You're hanging out
horrible.
With the wrong girls.
Horrible.
Yeah. Hey, whose boo are you, buddy?
I don't think I am defined by that particular moniker.
Boo.
You better ask Lucifer.
Dude, TJ, you've met me. You know I'm an ugly, ugly man. It's okay.
It's not true. You have like a weird like...
It is true.
No, he's not...
Shh,
he's
beauty
not ugly.
Is only... What is it?
Lurch and
beauty is in the eye of the beer holder.
That's how this happens.
No, enough.
Beauty is in the eye of the beer holder.
You've taken the guy with a camera shtick and you've elevated to the next level.
there is no
Honest
next level. Deek. That's the big secret.
Okay. So wait a minute. You guys are creating. You're doing good things.
Yeah.
Like why are you upset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what?
That's a good question. You said you were upset.
You said you were an angry little man. What's the deal?
I'm always angry. That's
I was gonna say, are you generally angry or are you specifically angry at something right now?
More to the point, do you have anything to add to this
it's
conversation?
It's actually a combination. I'm generally just an angry person.
Why did you call me, sir?
It doesn't take a whole lot to set me off.
Why did you call me?
So, to fuck with you. Because that's what I do.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh,
because
you know, hey,
the whole magic—the magic of Facebook. He said, "I'm online and I'm doing something important. It's so amazing." I decided to fuck that up because that's what I do.
He's Fair not enough. Doing anything no. important. It's just me.
That's not true. You are important. I'm glad you're here. What's the next big metal show that you got going out at the Mesa? He's the booker at Mesa. So what's the next big one?
The next big metal show?
Yeah.
Wall of the Fallen's coming on.
That was fun. And you fucker with me, I fucker with you. Okay. Yeah, that was fun. Sorry about the hum here.
Anyway.
Well, I don't know how to close this out. We've already gone. We got to be close to an hour. Like, what's the actual timeline? Like, what you're doing? Like, are you in for?
I'm trying to go to the State Department, and I will find out within the next, hopefully, few weeks, because I'm supposed to re-enlist in February, and if I don't do that, I'm going to try to go down to San Diego and do something lame with my life and re-enlist and do, like, a 9-to-5 Navy job that pretty much doesn't make me do anything. Figure I've been
Are
on...
you not going to be a civilian for, like, a long time, or what?
I'm going to re-enlist once, because I kind of got... I had one of those stupid dating experiences and got screwed over with a second car payment, and he took me for like $17,000. And so,
what are you doing tonight?
What am I doing tonight?
I could use a couple grand. I feel like I could probably
go fuck yourself. I'm still recovering from the last one. Okay.
Well, okay. At least Eric is a good sport. I got a little ha ha out of him.
Oh,
so.
Good job, Eric.
I don't know if we really did anything here. Like, we had fun.
I had a blasty blast.
And, like, the worst part...
I said blasty blast. That's kind of lame.
What?
Nothing.
All right.
Good talk.
I don't want to stop yet.
Okay, so
Well, no,
stop.
The only reason I want to stop is because I'd rather just talk to you instead of, like, trying to figure out, you know, things for them.
Well...
Should I stop
Okay, so my whole new philosophy in life is...
All right.
Fuck them. And, you know, I always say, what are they going to do? Take away my birthday? If you don't entertain them in this case. Because they can't really take away your birthday.
I don't know what that means. What is your, like your party?
No, can't, we say that if you do something and you get in trouble, or you might get in trouble for, or somebody's like,
"I'm home with so much cake."
You don't know about the Bane thing?
No, I was guessing that was a Bane thing, though. I've actually haven't seen that movie, the new Batman with the Bane in it.
Okay, now we really have to cut
I would do dirty things to Tom Hardy, but I still haven't seen that
movie. I've heard that a lot. I don't think anybody's going to do dirty things to Tom Hardy in a Bane mask because nobody understands what he's saying.
I totally would.
But, really?
Yeah.
Speaking of stick my mouth hole.
You, sir, are not Tom Hardy. I'm sorry.
No, that's
true. He's
got
that weird, like, I'm kind of stupid, but, like.
Well, I have that, too.
There's something attractive about his whole, like, lips, but I'm kind of dumb kind of thing. I don't know.
He does have, like a bit of an oaf kind of look to
him. Well, if you've ever seen Lawless, he was just kind of like, he'd grunt a lot.
Shit, that's the one.
He's a bit where he slits his throat. He gets his throat slit and like he lives through it.
Well, like you would
about the prohibition.
You know, of course you would.
Yeah, and he's just like, he always grunts. Right? People talk to him and he's just like, I'm gonna start doing that to people. Like when they talk to me, I'm just gonna.
Well, problem is you're not going to scare anybody off. Like
I'm kind of scary, actually. No, I'm being very personable right now. I'm kind of scary person in reality. Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm scary. I'm terrifying.
You're wearing makeup right now. I got told that. Like your hair's done and your makeup's good.
My hair's not done. I kind of like put it in a bun all day.
It's long.
It is way longer than the last time you saw me, huh? I had like super short hair. It was like really short. It was like domino short.
I can't believe how long it's been.
I know.
All right, you know what?
Well, I cut it off twice.
Yeah, we're going nowhere here, people.
Anyway.
Sarah Jean is not anywhere to be promoted or found. You should get on Twitter, though, because we, you know, you could
have
Chim
Twitter
and Brad.
I have a Twitter account. Hey, if people find me on Twitter.
What's your Twitter account? Do you remember?
I don't know. I have a Twitter. I don't know. It's on my phone. My phone died.
We had time.
It's in my car.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not the technology. I'm not very good at this technology kind of thing. I don't know what to do with my hands.
If you decide to tell me your Twitter handle, I'll get you.
There's a
at
handle.
Least,
I
at
thought
least
you
three
just,
followers.
I thought well, it
no,
was
okay.
Like
I'm a.
I thought
GFT
it was like
pod.
Facebook, and you look
like my real name. But then if you go at GFT Pod, that's me.
I think mine's just like Sarah Hedge.
All right. Well, let's.
I don't know. Maybe.
Sarah. Sata? No, that's not right.
I don't know. I'm very technologically insufficient.
What the fuck is wrong with me? Here we go. Sarah Hedge. Sarah Hedge.
The old man voice is awesome. It's either that or it's SJ Hedge. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't been on Twitter for
a while. SJ Hedge.
SJ Hedge 87? Would that...
Yeah,
familiar?
That's me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap, he found me.
You have one follower.
Who's my follower? That's creepy. Who is it?
It is at Hibbs T.
Oh, that's my friend. I'm going to be the godmother of her child.
All right, Tori?
Yeah, right. I heart you, Tori.
All right, I'm going to follow Tori and you.
Okay.
So now you have two followers.
What?
Zero tweets.
Hey, guys, follow me on Twitter at SJHedge87. Oh, my God, I just said follow me on Twitter. I feel so technologically powerful right
this
now.
This is pretty amazing.
This is.
I don't know who this person is. This is bizarre. I don't really know what's happening. I'm going to call it right now so we can hang out a little bit before you go. You
cool okay, sounds good.
Gofromthere.podbean.com. Search Go From There on Stitcher and iTunes. If you go to iTunes and do that, subscribe, rate, and then follow SJHedge87 on Twitter. And receive no information or pictures or fun stuff.
I can put pictures and fun stuff on there.
Oh,
okay, we're gonna have to go through like a lesson plan here, and then
you need to go
and
get
then
your
my,
phone. You
and
need
then,
to go get your phone. We'll,
and then
we'll
my Twitter account will be fun. I promise.
I'm not kidding you. Like in the next 5 days, I could get you 100 followers, and they're actual real people. So let's do this.
Real creepy people.
Chim and his friends.
Okay. so real creepy people.
I appreciate you coming. This was awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry for all the difficulties.
It's awesome to see you for the first time in like 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you. I'm stopping it now.
Okay.
See ya.
Open doors so I walk inside. Close my eyes, find my place to hide. And I shake as I take it.